Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I were introduced to Chief Jackson back in January when he started, and since January he has been rocking and rolling in the police department. I've heard from deans, from vice presidents, from even VPs and staff about the fantastic hire, and they're really seeing him and our other members of police, visiting students, always being present at events. And most importantly, we received feedback from inside the police department, and that's just as strong. The command staff and others have pulled me aside to share that the culture has totally shifted in a few short months.
Oh.
The consensus is clear. It's a great time to be at the University of West Florida, and specifically with the University of West Florida Police Department.
This is Cass Boatwright. She is the Chief Operating Officer for UWF, talking about Roman Jackson and the changes that have taken place inside the University of West Florida Police Department.
So we'll look at a brief presentation that the police department put together on their initiatives and what they've been working on. They completed an active assailant video in partnership with emergency management, Chris Hennett and David Brinkley over at WUWF. The professional video outlines exactly what to do in case of an event. The video can now be part of orientations for students, faculty, and staff.
You know, that's so obvious and yet brilliant. And I don't know how many people have ever done it, but you know, if you want everybody and you got, you know, hundreds or thousands of people coming to your institution, whether you're a business, whether you're an education, a school or whatever, you know, why not have a video that teaches people what to do in case of an emergency, active shooter or anything else, right? That makes perfect sense to me.
We've upgraded our Glock fleet. After 9 years, we were ready, much ready for replacement. And instead of just going back with the old, we use that as an opportunity to move to the red dot technology, which provides our officers with much better precision.
If you're not familiar with that, there's basically two kinds of sights that you have on guns. I mean, there's more, but, you know, what they call iron sights, which are the just normal, what you would think of on a gun. And Glock have really nice ones because it's when you look down the barrel, it's basically this white U and then a dot, and all you do is you put the dot in the middle of the U, and then wherever that dot is where you're going to hit. It's really kind of, I mean, a lot of guns have similar kinds of things, but that's how Glocks work. But now they're moving to the red dot, which is, it's not what you think, like a laser sight where it puts a dot on the target. It's just that you hold it up at a certain angle in front of your eyes, and wherever the dot goes, the bullet goes. I personally don't like them, but I know they're the becoming standard. And for those of us who've been shooting guns for a long time and didn't grow up on it, it's a little bit of an alien technology, but it is absolutely the standard these days that they're moving to. So new guns, new video. This is all out of UWF Police Department.
We're currently piloting a new centralized security and safety camera system. As we build a new stadium and the new Synapse building, we needed a unified approach. And unfortunately right now, one department does one thing, one department does another. So we're trying to bring those together.
Integrating the camera systems, and as they're growing with the new stadium and everything else, getting it all on, basically under one roof or under one operating system makes perfect sense. University of West Florida is a city. I mean, you know, 15,000 students, that's a city, like a small city. I mean, it's, but, you know, Gulf Breeze is 5,000 people and Milton's like 5,000. I mean, it's not a tiny city. Pensacola is like 55,000. So if you think of it that way, it's, you know, got a lot of different parts and pieces, and it's not surprising that those wouldn't all be connected together, but they should be, clearly, for the police to be able to gather information and respond quickly to incidents.
We've signed a critical incident agreement with the Exambia County Sheriff's Office. This gives us access to the vast resources and equipment in the event of a major event.
Yep, and I was talking with Chip off air about that, and that just basically allows them to get their certification, their accreditation, excuse me, is the technical term.
All right, the next initiative is Gear Guard. This was the brainchild of Dr. Anderson, so thanks, Dr. Anderson.
If you've got kids at UWF, pay attention. This is kind of cool. And honestly, not just at UWF, but elsewhere as well, but particularly pay attention at UWF students.
The users are able to scan a code and register their assets like laptops and bikes and scooters. While that matters, we recently busted an e-bike and bike theft ring and recovered about 50 units. And while that's great, we were able to return some of the units to the students. Many, we didn't know who they were, so we couldn't return those to the students. So Greer Guard is there to solve that problem.
So your kid goes and lives on campus, or doesn't even live on campus. They take the Greer Guard app, zip, 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 zip. They've scanned all the big things that could get stolen from them. And then if they do get stolen, they have a way to return them to you in the case they bust them, like with the e-bikes. 50 e-bikes stolen on campus. Wow, they are not inexpensive. We'll come back to this in a second because I just thought it was a really interesting update. Might give you ideas for what could be done elsewhere, suggestions you might make to your kids' school if they don't already have something like that. You got kids in school, John? Yeah. Wouldn't that be
a,
I mean.
Oh, I think it's an amazing idea.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Because my son at GCU had his scooter stolen 2 times.
Oh, really?
Almost 3.
Believe it, yeah. And even you could start to see applications where, you know, pawn shops could have access to the app and they could verify that a thing
exactly.
is yours or something, you know, to
right.
prevent stolen merchandise from being transacted. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you could see this being implemented, and it's a great idea. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? No accidents to report to you, nor delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly on our roadways. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the UWF Board of Trustees meeting presentation by Cass Boatwright, the chief operating officer, on the changes going taking place on the campus. I think this is actually Roman Jackson talking.
I would just like to say it's been an honor so far to serve the agency and President Diaz. And he said something today that meant something to the police department. It's that hometown feel within our campus, and we're trying to echo and reflect that every day. We've really upped our engagement, and we feel like that we're making progress with that. And then just a quick thank you to Ms. Boatwright for the leadership. We've done really well under her, and she's looked out for us.
Yeah, you want a police chief who understands the culture you're trying to keep all the time. Because, you know, it'd be very easy in the role of a police chief on a university to change the tone of campus in not in a good way, or change the tone of campus in a good way, right? But if you don't understand the kind of small school feel that UWF is always trying to maintain, even as it grows to, you know, 15,000 is a lot, that's good for him to grasp that. Janice Gilly, who, again, is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, she says, and others say, that the whole culture in the police department, and I wasn't aware that there was any kind of an issue before. I don't know the former chief. I don't know. I've not met Chief Jackson. But, you know, everybody seems to be of the same opinion that all of a sudden it's just different in a good way.
I just want to say about the chief and the police department, I try and be secret shopper when I go places. And so I've had the opportunity to speak to some folks, and there is a noticeable difference yeah. in the way the police department and the staff have been, number one, how they've received his leadership, but also how our community has received their leadership and just their visibility and the confidence that people have, you know, as we all hear of experiences around the country and the world. People are not feeling that same concern here because of what they're seeing from that department.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a pretty universal recognition that things are just kind of better. Even Ed Fleming talked about it.
I've heard a lot of positive comments about your placing your officers on bicycles. You give them an immediate identification, I think, with the students that they're on bicycles. You make them much more approachable than when they're in cruisers. And that's a great way of promoting a positive image, I think, with the students and showing your presence out there. So I commend you on that program.
Yeah, and I will say that, I don't drive up there as much anymore, but when I've taken kids up to school, two now who graduated, well, one's not graduated, but, you know, he drives himself now, but two different kids, and you see a lot of cop cars. At least I did historically. They're always out on the perimeter road, you know, speed checking, because it's a slow speed and people go past it. But I don't think I had ever seen a bike cop on campus. I don't think I had. But apparently that's what they're doing now. And also not just on bicycle, but a particular kind of bicycle that makes all the sense in the world.
Well, I had a luxury. They were riding regular bikes and we got them e-bikes. So I'll get to take credit for that, right? So
absolutely.
Loving the summer. But no, very happy with that service that we're able to provide. And it puts them around the campus and gives them somewhat of a bond with the students. And then, offers it to be more visible than just a car.
And actually, you know, I had not thought of that, but I'm surprised more police agencies aren't going to the e-bikes, because I mean, the e-bike is just, they're so fast, which is a problem a lot of times for civilians using them, but is very advantageous for, you know, them doing their job, getting around easily. It makes all the sense in the world. So just a little update at UWF, things that are going on. If you got students there, you're just kind of curious. I mean, again, UWF's a little city. You know, we don't always think about it that way, but it definitely is right here in Pensacola. 437-1620. If you have a kid who's good at math, and it's summer, and you want to make sure that they are still good at math in the fall, Mathnasium. If you got a kid who maybe didn't finish as strongly as they could have or should have, or was starting to have issues, has had issues, Mathnasium. And here's why I say that, because, you know, during the summer, right, it's very common to kind of fall back a significant amount in your capabilities and your skill levels. And then in the fall, they have to spend all this time, you know, getting you back up to speed. Well, that's lost instructional time, but it's also lost productivity time for the kid. Well, okay, Mathnasium during the summer, you know, kind of keep the brain in shape. We are big believers in Mathnasium. There are dear friends, the owners, Donna and Dana, and my son actually taught there for a year. And it's very simple. All you do is just go in for a free assessment. Take them in for a free assessment. No big deal. And then they'll figure out where is your child at, and they'll design a program specifically to help fix anything that needs to be fixed, enhance anything that can be enhanced, and just make sure that your kids are ready and raring to go back to school and, you know, right up to speed when it comes to their math skills. Mathnasium located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring new spring menus at Jackson's and Angelina's, celebrate Mother's Day at Great Southern, celebrate Juneteenth at Five Sisters, and the 12th Annual Craft Beer Festival at the Fish House. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins. MVR. Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Come on.
You're imagining things.
Am I? Then why are you following me? Afraid I was going to leave without giving you a goodbye kiss?
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
I can arrange that. You can use a good kiss.
Quick reminder that, again, May 4th is the countdown for the drop-off relocation of Summit. So starting May 5th, the Leonard Street sanitation site, the assisted site, will be the place to drop off your bulk recyclables.
Yeah, Mayor Reeves explaining, this is actually last week, but it was relevant yesterday because the new site opened May the 5th, which is the at the regular offices on Leonard Street where you can drop off your recycling for no charge. So obviously you can pay to have a can, or you can take it down to the office on Leonard Street. You cannot take it anymore to Summit. That one is closed, no longer available. Remember, it was costing, what was the number? It's like $300,000, $270,000, something like that. And then it was going to only cost, you know, $30,000 or $50,000, something like that, $1,000 a year at most to do the recycling at Leonard Street. So it's a, and it's not going to be all contaminated. I mean, people were just basically turning it like a dump. because they couldn't recycle any of the stuff that was there. It was so highly contaminated with non-recyclables.
The cost is in a couple of different places. One is because it's an unassisted drop-off, because it's unmonitored, we are having to pick it up so frequently, and there's a significant cost to that, right? That is, we just talked about in the previous topic. If we're picking up the Summit recycling site, that's less people to go pick up yard waste, right? For example. So it's very taxing financially on that type of crew having to go out there. I believe we were at four times a week having to go out there. And it's all going to the trash. So it's not serving any real recycling purpose. And we're
four times a week. That's crazy. That a volume, right? And again, as he said, that's trucks that aren't able to go pick up your yard waste, which I know is a problem in the state. We're going to talk about that with the mayor coming up in an hour.
And we're having to, because if not, we'll hear very quickly, understandably, from our residents if it's full. So it's a recurring problem that we're cornered into, right? It becomes full. We get a lot of phone calls when it's full, but it's full of trash. And so we got to send somebody out there or we'll be leaving it full there for days and days, and then it'll start to pile up outside of the can. So I would say the number one increased cost is this inconsistent, yet consistent, I guess, labor having to go out there and grab all that trash.
Which is not just cost, but it's also missed opportunity to do other things as well. We'll come back to this in a second because it's just one last thing he's going to say about this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got one accident on the big board right now at Old Palafox and East Roberts Road. They're saying it's a vehicle crash with roadblock. Not seeing any delays quite yet because it just happened, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We're talking about the Summit recycling that's now closed and the Leonard Street that is available. You can go there during business hours and drop off your recycling if you don't want to pay for recycling or if the volume is too much for your can.
What most cities have really accepted across the country, an unmonitored recycling drop-off doesn't work. I mean, I don't know of an unmonitored recycling drop-off that isn't contaminated in this country. There might be one, but you either have to fence it off or you have to pay people to stand there. And so if we're going to pay people to stand there to respect the taxpayer dollar, we're going to do it at a location that where we already have people on site and we already have a fence. We have all of those security measures in place. So the reason it's 90% cheaper than what it is now is we have the infrastructure in place and we're not having to waste all of that labor and bandwidth going to pick up trash.
Makes sense to me. Have you ever lived in a place where they had active recycling where you put deposits down, John? Have you ever?
No.
I grew up in Michigan, so we used to go collect cans after the football games or whatever. But we lived in Oregon before we moved here. And it's been a while because, I mean, I've been here since 2014. But you pay a deposit on the glass and the cans when you buy them. You know, so the cost of a 12-pack, you have to add, I think it was 5 cents per. I don't think it was 10 cents. I'm trying to remember. But, you know, so extra 60 cents or whatever. And then what you do is at the grocery stores, they'd have the machines that you would go put a can in and it would crush it. And put a can in, it would crush it. You put a can in, it would crush it. Put a bottle in, it would break it. Put a bottle in, it would break it. And that's you just wasted your life away doing this all the time.
Yeah.
And then it would issue a little receipt. And you take the receipt and, please, sir, can I have my 84 cents? You know.
Please,
take it to the fries or whatever, and it would take it off your groceries. So no, it wasn't fries. What was the name of the? I can't remember the name of the store that was like the fries up there. But anyway, it was. Whew, just glad I got out of Oregon. Let's see. David Wayne is in. I mean, Oregon's a great place, natural beauty wise, but man, the politics.
Just to visit.
Yeah, and the drugs. Lots of drugs. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, a former FedEx driver's been sentenced to death for kidnapping a 7-year-old girl and murdering her in an attack in the back of his delivery truck. A Texas jury delivered that sentence on Tuesday after about 3 weeks of testimony. 34-year-old Tanner Horner was sentenced to die by lethal injection. There's been a deadly shooting outside of a Korean supermarket in Texas that left at least two people dead and three others injured. Police say the violence happened during a business meeting and was not random, and an arrest was made. 69-year-old Sung Han Ho was taken into custody after a foot chase. The injured victims are expected to survive. Some news out of Yellowstone National Park. Two hikers have been injured in a bear attack that caused some trail closures near Old Faithful there. Park officials say the attack happened Monday on Mystic Falls Trail and involved one and possibly multiple bears. Those victims have been airlifted for treatment. So far, their conditions have not been released.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. One other thing came up yesterday in D.C. Reeves' press conference. Briefly, a mention about flock cameras being used to help solve a case.
Just a note with our LPRs, license plate readers. We had another incident where we were able to catch someone. There was a domestic violence call. We were able to find the tag, locate the vehicle, and that vehicle not only had the person that was we were looking for, but also had a large quantity of drugs in the vehicle. Nothing other than the fact that we certainly want to share that technology is why I believe we're seeing crime drops around the country, and we certainly appreciate being able to find the bad guys when we're looking for them.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate that both the sheriff has been talking about this, the mayor's been talking about this. I assume we'll talk about this tomorrow with PPD. But you know, the recognition that there's only been kind of one side of the story on the license plate readers, it's gotten a lot of attention, which is the we hate them side. And you know, it might be worthwhile if they are useful to solving crimes. It might be worthwhile to every once in a while mention that a lot, like to defend and justify the use of them.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump pausing the U.S. effort to escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz, hoping for a deal with Iran.
Now, Iran's ambassador to Pakistan responded to the announcement by mocking President Trump, posting on X, once beaten, twice shy. The U.S. military remains postured across the region should negotiations with Iran not yield the desired outcome.
Fox's Trey Yings, the president also getting political payback in Indiana's primary.
Last year, several Republicans in Indiana State Senate joined Democrats to reject a new congressional map. It would have created two more right-leaning House seats. The president, upset by the results, then backed candidates looking to unseat seven state senators who defied him. This morning, so far, only one incumbent has survived.
Fox's Madeline Rivera in Ohio. Former Senator Sherrod Brown won the Democratic primary as he hopes to reclaim his former seat. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That is up in just a few minutes. Navarre Beach Fire Rescue has a new interim chief after the firing of Daniel Fury last week after reportedly testing positive for cocaine in violation of his probation. The fire board unanimously appointing Jonathan Kanzig on Tuesday. Kanzig spent 17 years as the Midway Fire District Chief and was currently the assistant chief in Pace. He says he wasn't really looking for a new job, but decided to step up when that call came in. Well, Kila Fest is happening downtown today. It's the homecoming celebration for Pensacola's own American Idol finalist, Kila Richardson. She's now made it to the final three on that contest. The event is being filmed. The homecoming celebration, that is, today is being filmed by American Idol. They'll have a segment on the broadcast finale next Monday.
I think our community rallied around Kila and did an awesome job of making it too difficult to choose otherwise, is the way I see it. And so this will be an awesome thing for us. There'll be a four-minute segment during the finale. That is what they're coming in to shoot. So there'll be a four during the three-hour finale. It will air on May 11th.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he was wearing his Pensacola T-shirt in his press conference yesterday. The homecoming events today include a parade and a concert at the Hunter Amphitheater behind Maritime Park. And he said there are even some early plans being discussed for a possible community watch party for the finale episode as well. Now, information on that won't be finalized until after the Kila Fest festivities are over today. Well, there's some new travel options in the area. Gulf Shores International is expanding.
Gulf Shores International Airport is gearing up for a busy summer with five new nonstop destinations. Allegiant Air will begin service later this month to Omaha, Huntsville, Oklahoma City, Louisville, and Springfield, Missouri. WKRG's reporting the airport is also moving forward with a $15 million terminal expansion, with construction expected to begin later this summer. The project will add gate space, expanded curbside drop-off, and an enlarged baggage claim area. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Well, it might sound like something out of a cartoon, but Commissioner Kerry Smith says flying cars may be closer to reality than most people realize. Santa Rosa County, he says, needs to start thinking about what that means as far as zoning and infrastructure go. Commissioner Smith giving the board an update on Tuesday from the statewide transportation planning meeting in Orlando.
There's a lot of young people in here, but they might not know who the Jetsons are. But the Jetsons, we had flying cars. And we're getting very close to having the flying cars. And it's going to, you're going to probably see the testing out in the public at the end of this year. It's that close. When I say close, because we currently have a test facility down in Auburndale, Florida.
It's about time. We were promised those by 2015. Smith says that the facility is the Daytona Speedway. He says counties will actually be responsible for developing vertiports in the future, and we could expect some major zoning changes as that tech rolls out. It's 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. And let's get an update on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John, any flying car?
Well, luckily, no. Luckily, no. Not right now. We're still seeing delay-free in the air right now. Traffic is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Like I said before, the air looks good, so your flying cars are good to go. And let's see here. Still dealing with the accident that happened up in Cantonment on Old Palafox and East Roberts Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Is that available on Google when you, like, roll your rollerball or mouse back?
It's a different filter.
The visual
for the
air.
Yeah, it is a filter that I'm using.
So you can see. Okay, good. I'm glad we're using that.
Okay.
6:36 at News Radio 92.3. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens.
Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices are sharply lower by more than 10% after an Axios report that the U.S. and Iran are closing in on a deal to end the war. West Texas Intermediate at $90 per barrel, Brent at roughly $98. Disney shares popped 5% after the entertainment giant reported quarterly revenue that exceeded analyst expectations, once again driven by its streaming and theme park units. The company's experiences segment, which includes Disney's theme parks and cruises, reported nearly $9.5 billion in revenue, which is up 7% year over year. CVS Health blew past first quarter earnings and revenue estimates and raised its 2026 guidance as its once troubled insurance business showed improvement. All of the healthcare giant's business segments, including its insurer, Aetna, its retail pharmacy and health services unit, surpassed Wall Street expectations. Futures are sharply higher on hopes for an Iran peace deal. Dow futures are up by more than 500 points. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spikes up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So, quick review. Four challenges for wastewater in our area. Protect the river, protect the water, drinking sources, protect us from whitings, PFAS, and we have explosive growth. So this is not an easy thing for our area. There's a lot of moving parts to it. Milton Concerned Citizens Save Blackwater River, we've been at this now for 5 years. And our biggest thing has always been asking the basic question, are we going to do harm?
Okay, so the wastewater treatment plant 2, part 2, 2.0 in Milton is now yet again the subject of a little bit of consternation, not opposition. Dave Sample speaking there for, God, how long? 25 minutes, I think, something like that. It was supposed to be like maybe a 5-minute presentation, and the mayor had to apologize for letting it be so long. But the concerned citizens of Milton, Save Our Blackwater, the not exactly the Pitchfork Posse, but closely aligned with them, is saying, you know what? The slope on the property that you're wanting to put the spray fields on is not appropriate, or at least we have questions. We have questions, and we think that things are not being done right to figure out if this is right or not, and will it jeopardize the river? That's our big concern. Again, you build a wastewater treatment plant, you got to put the effluent somewhere. In this case, you're going to make these spray fields. Well, if the spray field is going to be on land that we think is going to cause runoff problems or slide-off problems or whatever towards the river, well, that's bad, and you haven't adequately studied that land, and so here we are to raise our concerns.
Without a knowledge of what the soil conditions are on the slopes, because they didn't do any bore siting on the slopes, they made an assumption somehow through smoke and mirror and pixie dust of engineering of it's okay for us to make a spray field over the entire thing. And that's where I'd have some issues. It's, one, inappropriate to develop spray patterns for areas outside the sampled area.
So they're not even studying the right information, and whatever borings they've got will not tell you what you need to know about the area we are concerned about.
We're discussing early because we are trying to come with a solution. This is a red flag as we looked at it, just from an environmental perspective. And, you know, if we have to, we'll contact our hydrogeologists and have them do formal work. But we're completely trying to avoid that because we want you guys to succeed, and we want this thing to go forward.
Yeah, and remember, they had brought this up, and we talked about this a little bit before. It was kind of a—remember, because Howard Steele was saying, you know, hey, if you're going to have this discussion about the spray fields, it needs to not be in private. It needs to be out in the public. So that's why Heather Lindsay had brought Dave Samples out to, you know, do this in public, a briefing, so to speak, for the whole city council. So he says, you know, we're not against this. We just have red flags. We want this project to work. We're not against it, which they had been very actively against the first version, the 1.0 version.
Thank you, Mr. Samples. And I would just ask council to please speak with Mr. Spears. I've spoken with him about these concerns. I've spoken with our engineer, Rick Delp, about the concerns. Getting these details is extremely helpful for follow-up conversations. And I appreciate y'all's patience. I did not expect it to be a long presentation, so I apologize if that unexpected length is inconvenient.
So we just had a big presentation, but we're not going to talk about it? It's kind of a weird move, although I think her idea was we have this rest of this agenda to get to, and we hadn't planned for it to be this long, and we don't want to delay the rest of the agenda, but it is weird to have a big thing presented and then nobody talks about it.
So, Mr. Spears, I didn't want to suggest that it's probably not the right time for a discussion about those remarks.
No, and I was going to echo that, Mayor. Thank you. Just encourage everyone to review the information you just received. Thank you for bringing this forward to us, to our attention. Review that. Joe's available. I'm available. BDI is available.
And you may not remember much of the background on this, but this is actually the property that Save Our Blackwater wanted them to move to. Like, they advocated for this move to this new one, and it was fast-tracked in the fall, which means that, you know, or in December-ish, I think, you know, a lot of the what you might have sort of thought of as the really thorough due diligence may or may not have entirely been done, but this was the one that they advocated for.
Please also keep in mind the impacts,
Ed Spears, City Manager,
of this presentation that it could have on our permitting, that it could have on our financing, the impacts on all of our economic development projects, the future of East Milton, the impact on the county's industrial parks, the impacts it has on our competition. Our competition in this market is under construction.
That's the county's plant.
And moving forward at an extremely rapid pace.
I mean, the county's building a plant, the industrial park on 87. So Ed's like, you know, we had all this drama for years before. New city council comes in, essentially elected to not do the first wastewater treatment plant, moved it to this new location. We managed to find a lot of solutions for problems that you created by making this choice, but it's your choice to make as city council. And now you're getting cold feet here. Now you're worried about this, and this, you know, big influential private citizen group is coming here and raising their doubts. That's going to impact financing, permitting, perception, economic development. Be careful how much you hem and haw over this, because that sends signals that people will pay attention to. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And do you remember how all of our staff worked for months and months and years to put together financing, and we just flushed it all down the toilet to the wastewater treatment plant we don't have yet? Sorry, couldn't resist. Anyway, and, you know, the impact on their morale. And you may remember, as I talked at the time, like, Sandy Woodbury is a rock star. She was their grants person, and now she's moved into a slightly different role. But I'm sure she still have a heavy hand involved in all of that, I would assume. And the point is, you know, it was terrible for staff morale to have that project ripped out from under them and said, no, we're just not going to do it. Well, here we go again.
And certainly it's not a primary concern, but I also please ask you to keep in mind the impact of this discussion on this staff. We're in round two of this, and those of us that lived it, it was a difficult process.
Absolutely. Not just a difficult process for them, for keeping, retaining talent. I mean, I'm sure Ed had to have a lot of conversations with staff. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. I promise you it'll be better. Just please don't leave. Right? And lots of money has been sent towards this project already.
We're going to do what you tell us to do, but we need to know pretty quick. Are we going forward, or we got to stop? Because we've spent millions of dollars, of taxpayers' dollars, to get to where we are today.
Absolutely have. Done a lot of stuff to get to this point. And also, you know, remember previously, you guys told us, go fast.
And I totally respect what took place on December the 11th. You raised your right hand, you swore an oath, you sat down, you started taking votes to carry out the mandate that you were elected to do. And we respected that. And we said, do you want us to do a methodical, complete relook, or you want this fast-tracked? Y'all were unanimous. Fast-track this. Get it done.
And now you're coming in after the fact and listening to this group for a long time and letting them talk you out of a good decision for just having questions. Well,
the money we've been able to preserve, as well as the money we're going to be able to attract, if there's any waiver in the dedication to this project, we've got to stop. Just simply because of the past, simply because what's past is prologue, and the best prediction of the future is what's happened in the past.
Throw a project away once, shame on you. Throw a project away twice, shame on us for letting you. Yeah, like, you know, this. I think Ed is right. And he's, listen, Ed is being very gentle I am amplifying it more because of, you know, people might not know the history and also because the significance of what he's saying. And plus, I mean, he's talking to his bosses. You know, they can find some, if they don't like what he's saying and doesn't like him telling them, come on now, what are y'all doing? Don't be crazy. You know, they can fire him. I mean, that's their prerogative if they want to.
And if there's a community group that has these concerns, that has a documented track record of, that got us here to today, we have to respect that. And we have to take that into consideration.
I mean, if the main group that killed the first project and is now raising concerns about the second project, you can't ignore them since you did what you did their bidding the first time. I understand that. That's a problem. But listen, staff is, this is rough on us and just in general.
Our staff meeting this past Wednesday, there was a lengthy discussion, and it went a bit longer than our staff meetings usually do. And it was, there's a lot of concern. I can tell you that.
And a concern is not just we're not happy. Concern is I just can't work under these conditions. I would assume. I would assume there's a lot of people that are like, if they do this to us again, I'm going to go work in Escambia. I'm going to go work for Gulf Breeze. I'm sure. Because these people are very capable. They can find jobs. There are open positions, you know, if they were willing, want to. So then you have the question of, well, but we're not going to talk about it now, Robert Leake.
I'd like to say something real quick. Conversations like this and, you know, invited speakers, it's kind of aggravating when we're not given the chance to ask questions and we're not given the time within the meeting to ask questions. You know, these meetings are meant for the council members to discuss things. And we cannot, you know, I can't pick up the phone and call any of these guys. So when we get a presentation like this and we're not given the time to ask questions and talk about it, those types of things aggravate me. But it's, you know, just feels like we're shut down. We're given a presentation and we can't do anything. That's aggravating to me.
It is. I totally agree with him. It's weird to let a private citizen group give a presentation and then not to have the balance from the engineers, you know, not to have it in like a workshop where you'd have everybody's perspective shared, but also then to be told you can't ask questions because we just don't have enough time to do that. That's just weird. So Heather Lindsay basically apologizes. That wasn't my intent.
Certainly wasn't my intention to stop that process. It was my intention to...
And she just wants to, you know, get the agenda going. And basically, she and Ed Spears say, well, you know, we can pivot.
If council would like to stay on this topic and invite Mr. Samples back to the podium,
that's
at their discretion.
Come on, let's talk about it. Gavin Hawthorne, city council member.
I don't know how the rest of the council feels, if they agree with Councilman Leake. But we have a tough job to decipher a lot of information in a very quickly, timely manner. We all do that very well. This topic was not to debate. This was more informational of a concern from a group, and we do hear that concern. And this gives us time from now to May 23rd to actually deep dive into it individually.
So there's another meeting coming up on the 23rd where everybody's going to be there and they can have more of a conversation around it. Larry McKee.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree. Yes, I'm a little aggravated that we, you know, receive the information tonight, get really good information tonight, but don't have the ability to discuss it. We don't have all the time in the world, and we've done a really good job of reducing the hours we spend at these meetings, which is, I appreciate that myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm totally on the side of let them hash it out right now.
I agree with you. It's frustrating, but I also agree we need to take a step back, spend some time, think about it, do our research, find out what other information we can get so we can have really good questions when we come into the 23rd.
Last word on the subject, Robert Leake.
You know, I get that. You know, I've dealt with this for a few years now, daily. So, you know, when he is speaking and has maps, you know, I have immediate questions because I've dealt with it so much. So, you know, I can respect that you may need some time to look things over, but it is on the agenda. It doesn't say it's
a no talking agenda.
You know, I could have overlooked it. You know, it doesn't say that it's just a discussion item, but you know, I thought we were going to get a chance to talk about it.
Absolutely. That's all. Yeah, it's not like it comes up on the agenda, wastewater treatment plant concerns, for non-discussion. It says, you know, it's going to say for discussion or discussion only, not for action. Anyway, so they decided to, you know, not discuss it really right then and move it off to, it's actually the 21st, not the 23rd, but so, you know, if you're concerned about this, and listen, I think Ed is raising all the right questions. Like, are you bleeping kidding me? We're going to do this again? Now, to be fair, I mean, Blackwater, Save Our Blackwater and Concerned Citizen Milton, they haven't said no. And, you know, I think Dave Samples was very clear that we just have questions. But questions, which seem to be concerns, which would seem to be like, we're not going to be willing to do this one either. And it's not the wastewater treatment plant itself. It's the spray field stuff, which is you have to have the spray field in order to make the plant work. And finding the spray field has been one of the big problems. So, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's, it does feel a little bit familiar. And you always have to admit, it is Milton. It is Milton. So I know that may not sound like the big drama just yet, but I'm telling you, you watch. You watch. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. Highway 90, 98, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are building things for a living and you do not go to Pensacola Hardware, you need to. I mean, go and ask. Like, literally, just be rude about it if you want. I mean, I don't recommend you be rude because, you know, you want to build a relationship. But, you know, ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, I am so sick of hearing this Andrew McKay guy talk about you on the radio. I build things for a living. Tell me what you can do for me. And they will. And then you can decide for yourself. Because I think what you'll find is they speak your language. You know, you don't have to get, you know, somebody else to figure out what's going on. They understand. They've been doing this for, you know, a little while, 175 years. it's, you know, somewhat successful in the industry. But they understand. They work with so many other builders. They know what you do. They know the codes. They know the inspectors. They know the problems you encounter. They know all of this stuff, and they can help you with that expertise. And they can, you know, put you on a monthly bill instead of having you to send, you know, Larry down with the credit card to go buy a thing right now. Like, just ship it to the job site. All of that stuff, okay, they can take care of you. They are your commercial construction supply business. And they can do special orders, you know. The architect or the engineer has specified products for a product, whatever. They can take care of you. So just trust me. Just go ask them. Just don't say, Andrew says this. What can you show me? Pensacola Hardware, right downtown, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
Nothing says happy birthday like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. So to celebrate America's 250th, drink in the fireworks, share bubbly hellos, and embrace every fizzy feeling with the refreshing taste of an American classic. This summer, pick up a Coca-Cola at your favorite retailer. Happy 250th birthday, America.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
That's the sound of an old box full of sterling silver flatware that you'll never use. Do you have a handful of old nugget jewelry, broken chains, and class rings? At today's gold and silver prices, these items are worth thousands of dollars. If you could use some extra money, come see Clayton or Sarah at Antiquarian Jewelers in Gulf Breeze proper, where they've been continuously paying top dollar for anything made of precious metals since 1978. Antiquarian Jewelers buys and sells gold and silver coins, too, located at 12 Live Oak Street next to Dunkin' Donuts.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
In digital marketing, sometimes it's easy to get carried away with clicks and data and algorithms, but at ADX Digital, we understand that none of that matters without customers. We provide reports with click-throughs and view-throughs, but what really matters to our team is seeing your business grow with more sales. And just like you, we're local too. We care about your business winning. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
The 5-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You need information. News Radio 92.3.
The gods. An owl.
Golden owl.
Golden owl from the gods. Clash of the Titans. The old Harry Hamlin, versus Meredith and everything. And the little owl is flying around. All right. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. It's such a picture. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick will be grilled by Congress today after the Epstein files showed he'd visited Epstein's private island during Senate testimony in February. Lutnick admitted to visiting the island in 2012. Commerce Secretary says he did nothing wrong.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, oh, man, some interesting things. Just stick around. You'll see.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923. WNRP.